Can we open the scriptures again? Can we do that this morning? Can we go to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. That's page 967 in your black Bibles there, the chair Bibles, if you'd like to use our version. Not our translation, but the one we use. That's page 967. We'll just take a few moments to continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We just touched on it last week, and we'll continue this week. As you're doing that, you should have a small sheet for notes. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to take notes. We also have the messages online as well. Within a day or two, usually these go up online. So if you prefer to just stare and listen and not take notes, you can listen again online. We've been studying through 1 Timothy, my goodness, since the beginning of the year, going through 1 Timothy, and we've reached 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're in a blazing pace, but reached 1 Timothy chapter 5, and as I read that chapter, I realized that Paul's getting some very specific issues in stewardship, caring for widows, and stewarding finance and property and gifts, and I thought it'd be interesting to go back now to 2 Corinthians, which is one of the most exhaustive New Testament teachings from Paul on the principles of giving as a foundation. 2 Corinthians was written, that letter was written to the church in Corinth about 8 to 10 years before what we read in Timothy was written. So as Timothy's laying out principles in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he's spoken to these issues already years ahead of time. So by way of expansion and understanding his view and the foundation that he's speaking from, we'll just go back to 2 Corinthians. 1 Timothy, 2 Corinthians, keep it all straight. So you should be at page 967, and I'll read the first 9 verses to refresh our memory. We'll briefly touch the first point, and we'll launch out from there since we covered that last week. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he has started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, in your love for you, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord, the prayers offered earlier, Lord, and just, Lord, your majesty, Lord, and we're just clouded, Lord, this morning in your glory. And so as we open your word, Father, illuminate it to us, teach us from it, Lord. Lord, may we be conformed to it and thereby bringing life to us. We humble ourselves before your word this morning in your spirit, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the title of these few weeks, we have this week, last week, this week, and next week we'll teach through this, and we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 next week, but we've titled it Generosity. And as you read the context here that Paul's speaking to the church in Corinth, you'll realize that this is a specific special offering that they're taking for the saints and the poor in Jerusalem. But in it, we have some very solid principles in terms of teaching us in this day and in our context around the issues of giving and generosity. Now, as I said last week, I have never taught on this subject. And many don't. Or they do in a way that it can be self-serving. So we have not taught on it. One, because it just hasn't come up. I haven't felt comfortable with it. But we've got to tackle it sometime. So as we got to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we said, well, here it is. Let's do it. So we jump back in to the words of Paul as they teach us. Secondly, the context of teaching through the Bible, one of the benefits of teaching through the Bible the way we do is we'll reach certain topics that may be uncomfortable, we may not want to deal with, but they present themselves and they're written, inspired, and so we're going to deal with them and talk about them because they're written for our benefit. They're written for our building up and our strengthening as a church. So this is going to build us up as a church. It's going to stretch some of us. It should stretch all of us, I think, to some degree. So we're talking in terms of generosity, giving. How does this work? How am I to respond to the Lord and to the needs around me? So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Last week, we just touched on the very first point, and you'll have it in your outline there. Paul in this chapter 8 begins to say, listen, there are some principles in giving here, and the Macedonian church is the example I want to give you. I'm not just going to give you a draw, I'm going to give you an example. So he pulls from the Macedonian church's principles, and he says, these things you've done well, and you've done well in faith and knowledge. That's out of verse 7 there. Faith, speech, knowledge. But I want you to excel in this area as well, Corinthians. So he gives them a scorecard and says, here's how you're doing. There's one more I'd love you to score well on, and it's generosity. He's just encouraging them. And he says, by that, we'll test the earnestness of your love. The first principle he gives them then comes from verse 5. I didn't go in order, but I felt it was foundational, and that is this, that they gave themselves first to the Lord. All of their generosity flowed out of giving themselves first to the Lord. And I spoke, you can get the recording from last week and hear a little bit more about that. I won't go in detail, but I will reference one more scripture for you before we jump to number 2. And that is 2 Corinthians 12:14. 2 Corinthians 12:14. And Paul says to them, I seek not what is yours, but you. It illustrates this point perfectly. Paul says, I'm not after what is yours, but you. So things are utterly subordinate. Things are subordinate to people, to God. I believe he's speaking the heart of God as well. So they gave themselves to the Lord. It goes much deeper than just giving materially. And these folks in the Macedonian churches had basically put themselves in the plate, the offering plate, and their finances and their gifts, everything went with them for the Lord's use. If you can use that as a mental image for us. Okay, number two, which is right out of verse 1. The Macedonian church, they gave in response to God's giving, God's generosity, or the grace of God. They gave in response to that, which this goes right with number 1. And it says in verse 1, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among them, among these churches. There was a grace given. There's a generosity given. And it was from that they responded in giving. Are we working here? I'll just have you look at it. Okay. They gave in response to God's generosity or God's giving. See, God is the first giver. This is where it all begins. God is the first giver. We read that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. We also read it in 2 Corinthians here in chapter 8, verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. God is a generous God. Father is generous. And what we have here, there's a line drawing through these middle ones. There's a generosity, a gratitude, and an overflowing joy that we read about from these Macedonians. That there was a generosity that they recognized from Father God. God is generous. God has given us much. Ultimately, his Son, he's extremely and abundantly generous. That produced a gratitude. It produced a gratitude in them as they looked to God. They could see God as the giver. It was not disconnected from that. It was birthed from that. So there's a generosity, a gratitude, which produced an overflowing joy that we read about in verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6. So there's a line for us then. Any of our giving must begin with realizing how generous God has been to us with finances, with food, with whatever He's given us, and ultimately, at the foundation, with His Son, Jesus. He didn't have to do it, but He chose to do it, giving His own Son to redeem a people for Himself. We were alienated and lost in sin. But because of the generosity of our Father, He gave. He gave to us. He gave to us, every one of us, which then produces a gratitude. If we're missing gratitude, we begin to turn our gaze to what He has done and who He is. So you see how God-centered these principles are, gazing at the Father. So there's a line that draws there. Generosity produces gratitude in these folks, and that became an overflowing joy into them. See, the starting point of generosity and of giving is not a particular need of those around us. It's not because of the need you see on TV. It's not necessarily, the starting point is not a need maybe of even what this church has need of or your neighbor has to do. The starting point is the generosity of God. It's the grace of God. We're moved by video pictures that are brought to us at incredible expense, by the way. But we have all kinds of videos shown to us and moving us. But what Paul is saying is this church, as a model, it was birthed out of their recognizing the grace of God in operation, the generosity of God. Produced a gratitude, and they gave. Because God is generous, and as we move into the likeness, as His children, moving into the family likeness, we'll become generous, right? Because that's who God is. Generous in all ways. But notice in verse 2, the generosity was unhindered by two things. Severe affliction and extreme poverty. Well, who does God through Paul use as an example for being and living a generous life? Well, the Macedonian church. Why? Well, because they had a lot of money. Because everything was going really nice for them, right? No, not at all. No, not at all. See, in verse 2 it says, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity." So, that's only possible because their giving and their generosity had nothing to do with external circumstances. Their joy and overflowing blessings came from God in the vision of His generosity. Otherwise, our giving is going to create some issues after a while. It has to come from our vision of God's generosity, which I've called His grace. When you think of the grace, it's God's generosity. The generosity of God is God's grace. Thirdly, they gave beyond their means. This is verse 3. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. Now, I've literally been in meetings where I'm encouraged to use my credit card or expend my home equity line of credit to thrust forward the movement of God on earth. And I'm promised a blessing for that. That is not at all what this is speaking about. That's foolishness. We need to be clear on that. It's not what he's saying here. Beyond my means. Well, that's beyond my means. I need you to give it. It's not what he's saying here. They were willing to forgo a legitimate need or a legitimate want in order that they might supply a legitimate need. That's the best quote I found this week in the commentaries, speaking on this issue. These folks gave. They were willing to forgo legitimate wants. Now, we have legitimate wants in our life, don't we? Many of us have a list that's too long for legitimate wants. There's just some things we'd like to have, and we want to have them. But we're foregoing those that these folks might supply legitimate needs. Does that make sense? They gave beyond their means. If you and I are only giving within our comfort zone, if we haven't given outside of our comfort zone, we haven't really understood giving. Jesus gave an example of this when he spoke of the woman that came up and dropped the small coin in. Jesus is standing there watching them give their offerings. And he says, this woman has given much more than all the others, because the others gave out of their abundance. But she gave all that she had and all that she could. That's the principle here. Number four, they gave of their own free will. That's verse 3 as well. They gave of their own free will. They gave entirely without being prompted or prodded, entirely on their own. This is one of the reasons that we will not prod, guilt, and hammer a congregation to give. Because if we go down that road, where does it stop? Where does it stop? My daughter, Ireland loves candy, don't you? You love candy, don't you? Hey, anybody else love candy? Look around Ireland, lots of people like candy. Ireland loves candy, but I've watched her in the house offer her candy to others fairly freely. Would you like a piece of candy? And I know what that means to her. Like, it's the hoarding and I've got this thing, and it's clenched and melting into her hand. But she's offered it, whether it's to Gammy or to Grandma or one of us. There's a real joy in that as a parent. It's a moment of unprompted generosity. It's much greater than me saying, Ireland, come on. You need to share with your friends, especially with your dad. Come on. Come on. Share that lollipop. Come on. And then she'll do it. But there's a prodding and a directing, and there's places for that as parents. However, we're moved by an unsolicited move of generosity that you know what's going on in her heart. This is really tough, but she's doing it. I have to think about it. Well, what kind of congregation do we want? Do we want a congregation that's only motivated and moved by the mechanisms of men or manipulation that can go into these kind of appeals? Or do we want those that are moved by what they've seen God do? And they gave of their own free will. That's challenging. Some of you want me to tell you what to give. It's easier that way. But Paul is commending them, saying they gave of their own free will. I got to believe when you gaze at the face of the Father, like as we this morning were singing, like, holy cow, in Christ alone, like you read the words and you just realize, like, this is really true. When we begin to gaze at those truths, we're moved in all areas of our life. Not just financially, in all areas. But what happens, we so often walk out the door and the pressures of the world, and it just, you seem to kind of fall back into the root, into the rut sometimes. But if we can continually gaze on the generosity of God, it creates a gratitude, and we can't help but have an overflowing joy in giving. They gave of their own free will. And fifthly, they begged for the privilege to share. This is verse 4. Paul says, they were begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They were urgently pleading. Usually, the urgently pleading is Ruthie going, we need help at VBS. The urgent pleading is like, help. What a blessing. Yesterday, during the biker barbecue, I had several folks unattached to the church at all. And one, it was their first time here, saying, are all these orange shirts from the church? I said, yeah, pretty much everybody is. About 40 volunteers. And they're just there. He was just so impressed by that. It's like, my gosh, yeah, the vision's out there. People are, there's not an earnestly pleading for help. people are giving the time of their own free will. They see the generosity of God. They've been down. They've seen the orphans. They're touched by it. And they gave of their own free will. But there was no pleading in this case. Their only pleading was for them. They wanted to plead for the privilege and the honor of sharing in the relief of the saints. They pleaded for it. Can you imagine that? Let me help them. 2 Corinthians 9. We'll take a peek into next week's. 2 Corinthians 9, if you just flip the page or wherever you go there on your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 12 to 15. This is what it produced. These folks, by giving, they were supplying the needs of God's people in other areas. Paul says this, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God." Their giving produced thanksgiving. "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ." See, it flows from your confession. So if we're confessing Christ, that's where it flows from. "And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, for they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you." And then there's verse 15. This is how he ends it. "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." If you look at your, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift," I think is the NIV translation. Thanks be to God for his gift. That's the birthplace of generosity for us. That's where you're going like, why isn't there like a money sign on the front? Like, that would make more sense. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It starts here. Or we will not be giving of our own free will. We'll be giving out of compulsion, out of guilt, out of duty. And that's not all the call of God for us at all, of their own free will. And it produced a thanksgiving, a thankfulness in the saints. Amen? What an example. What a challenge for us as a church, as a people. So Benjamin, why don't you come up? Benjamin. So Paul says, listen, in verse 8, let's flip back in chapter 8, verse 8, he says, listen, "I say these things because I want to prove and I want to test your love to see if it's genuine." He gives the report card, and then he says there's going to be a test at the end, and so our test is this. As we move into a communion time, a time of remembrance this morning, we take the test. And just in our hearts, we take the test. We take the evaluation, and that's very easy. The test is right in front of you. It's right here, and also it's in front of you here. And we turn these principles into questions for ourselves. And we say this. Those of you that are serving in communion, elders, you guys can come up. What I'd like to do as well is those graduates that are here, can you guys help? Corey, can you guys help? Corey, and where's, can we have Heather? Can we have you help? Yeah. You want to come up? The elders will kind of give you direction as I share in the next minute or two. Who else do we have? Where's Nicholas? Why don't you come up, bud? As we just transition, Benjamin's going to play and sing quietly as I direct us here. So you guys go ahead and direct Nicholas, however you want to set him up there, and Heather, and then Corey. The test is this for us this morning. Am I giving myself first to the Lord? Am I giving myself first to the Lord, or am I focused on earthly things? If you guys are ready, you can go ahead and pass that out. I'm sorry. Yeah, if you're ready to go and you're organized, it's good. And the folks will serve you the elements, the bread and the juice. This communion table is not just for those of City View. It's God's table. It's open to all those who believe, all those part of the family of God. Those of you with children, you can use discretion, whether they understand they're ready for this or they can just wait till another time. That's fine. If you feel you're not ready to receive, you are free to just pass it along. It's fine. Am I giving myself first to the Lord? Am I giving in response to God's giving? Is my giving in response to His grace? Is that why I give? Am I giving beyond my ability? Or am I just in my comfort zone? Am I giving of my own free will? Or do I feel prodded? Is it out of guilt or duty? Am I pleading for the honor and the privilege of serving others? With my finances, with my gifts, with my time. Well, this is incredibly challenging. That's the mirror that we put up against. Here's the example. Paul says, this is how I want you to give. Draw encouragement and strength from their example. So take a moment and ponder these things as Benjamin leads us in a verse or so, and we'll come back together to receive together the communion.
This is my desire.